And it is Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is Russ Dizd, our guest host on SurviveToThrive.net. Glad to have you tonight. Listen, we're in a series this week, and I don't know if you've seen it already on the website, ShatterTheDarkness.net, but it's called The Human Spirit, Identity, and Indestructible Immortality. Last night, we did The Origin of the Human Spirit, and tonight is The Human Spirit, Identity, and Counterfeit Constructs. Now, we're going to delve into what that means, but I want to welcome everybody tonight and just ask you a few questions as we get into this evening. Can you identify yourself? I mean, can you identify yourself? If you was to stand and be asked the question to identify yourself, you know, by an officer or, well, listen, somebody just saying, what's your name? What's your last name? You know, how old are you? Where do you come from? And so as you begin to identify yourself, how would you do that? And again, you would say by name. If your name is Mary or John, well, there's a lot of Mary and Johns out there. But when you say Mary, it's referring to you. And so there are a number of things that you can do to describe yourself. Now listen, if I was to ask you to describe yourself and tell me about yourself, some of you have been listening and emailing me, and some of us have even interacted. I've talked to a few people over the phone even. And so when you listen to this voice and then eventually, you know, interact with me and talk with me and find out more and go to my bio and read that, and if you've been around me, you'll find out more and more about who Russ Dizdar is. There's no other Russ Dizdar around. There's no other you anywhere. And so when we think in terms of the self, we're talking about the human spirit and identity. It's very important, no matter what's going on in the world, globalism all around us. You know, again, the theft in the economic sectors. The events that are occurring around us are, well, they're just demonstrating. On the one hand, there's the majesty of man. On the other hand, there's the misery of mankind. So if you're sitting back tonight and thinking through this, and we're saying that we are body, soul, and spirit, if I was to ask you concerning who you are and identifying yourself and describing yourself, well, there's going to be a number of things that come out in this, that really, truly, you are separate and unique and a distinct personality. You're not a clone. Think about it for a moment. You're not a clone. You're not a clone of somebody else. I even, back in the days of high school, dated a girl that was a twin. The sisters were identical twins, and there was even a time when I thought that they changed places on a date just for fun. I wasn't sure. But they looked exactly alike, and it took me a little bit of time to notice particular things and then to delve into personality. I knew the girl that I was dating more and more and more as we spent time, and she was distinct and different from her twin sister. So we're not clones. There's no one else like you. You look at your parents, you look at your children, you look all around you, and you can find traits and things like that in your family line. But when it comes down to identification, to the unique self, to who you are as a person. Now we can say, we can describe ourselves and say things about ourselves. What about changes? What about things we'd like to be? Things we'd, well, like to, well, quit doing in our lives? You know, we can take a look at ourselves sometimes and be very critical. We can listen to others' criticisms and be wounded. There's something very, very unique about the individual self, the human spirit. Now, Monday night, I told you very clearly, looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 in the Bible, you're going to see where it mentions, who knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man? In other words, deep inside of you, you as a human spirit, you're able to transcend your thoughts, to think about your thoughts. you're able to kind of look at yourself and bring an evaluation. And we are spiritual beings, and we're physical beings. And in the beginning, it was all meant to be the same, basically. The body, the soul, the spirit, absolutely unique and one in the beginning. There was no real separation. You didn't walk around as, well, here's my spirit man, here's my soul man, here's my body man. Not at all. Even when God addresses you, he addresses you as you, by name, by distinct name. As good parents know the difference. Well, I have a friend that had five children. Of another friend that had nine children. And each one of those children were distinct, different voice, different personality, unique. I mean, we all eat food. We all live and breathe the air. We all, well, walk and talk and interact, basically. But there is a difference between you and billions of other people that live on this planet. And that's an extremely unique thing. So the question is, who are you? Who are you? I want to say tonight that the human spirit is amazing as an individual self. Now think about it right now. Here you are living and listening to this voice. And the voice that you're listening to, listen, I've lived my life 53 years now. And I know the things that I like and dislike, and I, you know, think in terms of love and the frailty of life, good and evil, and all the different things going on. But I also think in terms of life and death, and that when we come to death, when we die, are we just erased? Does the unique individual personality that you are, does it just end? And if so, what was it all for? Those are a lot of the questions that are out there that billions even ask today. I heard a top radio host the other day saying these very things. Who are we? Where do we come from? What's it all about? How do we know for sure? Well, tonight, my friends, we are going to get into the second part of this series. We're going to tell you in a few minutes here how we've been created in majesty, but there is misery among us. There's a reason for that. Again, welcome to SurviveToThrive.net. This is Russ Dizdar, guest host tonight, Tuesday night, 7 to 8 p.m., and we are in a very supernatural hour. This has been prayed over. We know that God is here. We know that God listens to prayer. And listen, whatever your background is, maybe many of you that don't know God on a personal level, many of you that do, many of you that rejoice and send me notes about your prayers and appreciation for the radio show. I'm glad to hear from you. Very sorry that we can't get to every single person that writes in. We try to do that, but we are overloaded. But we appreciate the kind words and the questions that come in sometimes too. So sometimes during the live show, if you do email in, I'm able to respond to that. The email address, shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net. Even with those out there that have considered themselves, well, the enemy of God, the enemy of Christ, the enemy of those who love God, who love Christ. I don't know if you've ever evaluated yourself or the reasons why you would have such hate. Luciferians are like that, and they have an agenda. And there is a bloodlust out there, and so we understand both the concepts of the majesty of man and the misery of mankind. Before we go any further tonight, let me give you a few notes. Well, a few things that are going on all around us in this world. There is a unique individual identity that is now gone. He has left his body. There is an Iranian nuclear physicist, a scientist, bombed and killed. And, of course, Iran is blaming the United States. There is a 16-year-old boy out there that just had a sex change. That has everything to do about identity and the mix between majesty and misery. Now, I'm also reading about, we're going to hear more and more about it probably too, the earthquake that might bring on a tsunami and the warning, Port-au-Prince, Haiti. And this is a place that was rocked. And now they're giving warnings concerning the other islands of a possible tsunami. And we've all seen the effects. Watched how 200,000 unique individuals lost their lives by this incredible event. Every one of them, you know, was named. They had family, they had friends. People wept over them, cried over them. Rescuers searched, and people eventually found bodies, and they were eventually taken care of and buried, and there were services. Because there's something about the importance of humanity. You see, I can sit on this side of the mic and tell you that God is love. God compels me. That's the reason that I share. That's the reason that I will even argue and debate concerning the reality of mankind, the reality of God, the reality of, of truth, of the construct of the human race, the origin of the human race in majesty created by God, fearfully and wonderfully made. I think that the human race, the individual, the body, soul, and spirit, the unique individual that I look at face to face or even that I'm talking to right now is absolutely, again, unique, individual. And you can't be erased. I'm going to speak again from a biblical standpoint. You can't be erased. I mean, in this world, people can get rid of other people. Someone just got rid of an Iranian nuclear scientist. People can change things about themselves, like the 16-year-old boy that just had this sex change. There's a lot of things that we do and products that we buy and, wow, this is the month of people evaluating their lives and, well, it's without question the month of diets. Billions of dollars will be spent on how not to eat food, what to eat instead of the regular foods, and how to try to lose some of that weight. That has everything to do with the will of man, doesn't it? That has everything to do with not only the majesty of man, but the misery that we go through at times. Well, listen, tonight as we get into this, I want you to remember, too, that we have a website, shatterthedarkness.net. And on that website, you're going to find hundreds of MP3s and all kinds of, well, it's packed and busy, and so you got to take your time, but where you read live radio, you're going to find where we put out a free training course that we use locally. And that training course is called Confronting the Powers. So if you're a believer in Christ or anyone that wants to, you can download that and take those MP3s free. There's some outline notes and other resources. Also, 31 Days Ablaze is up to date, and those are the devotionals that can go anywhere from 10 minutes to 20 minutes on a daily basis. And in this month, the emphasis is prophetic revelation. And just take a look. You'll find a bunch of other stuff there. If you want to know more about us, there's bio information. And but you're going to have to take your time because, like I said, there's quite a bit there. And there's a newsletter coming out. We're late. We've been down for about, 5 days now. Excruciating pain, by the way. So keep us in your prayers. And so we've been battling this back and forth. And so we're sitting here tonight wincing a little bit from the pain, trying to go on and trusting that there is, again, providence involved with what you and I are doing here. So welcome. God bless you. You're in my prayers. And you're in the sight of God. God knows your identity. I even have people that have come in for counseling over the years and have literally screamed out, I don't know who I am anymore. And that's through that, again, conflict that we have in a fallen world. Something's wrong inside of us that our bodies would eventually die. These unique bodies with the brain and the eyes and the ears and all that's about us. Well, it involves a lot of things. It involves a lot of things. many of you listening tonight would be involved in looking at the conspiracies in the world and globalism and the political themes that are occurring and the financial disasters and, fears and concerns that are out there. But it comes back down to you. Jesus said one time, "What would it profit a man if he gains the whole world yet loses his own soul, his own self, his own unique individual personality?" Got to realize something. The value of you is measured at the foot of the cross. I'll explain that towards the end of the show. We're just now 15 minutes into the show or so, and I'm going to give you five other, well, I would say counterfeit constructs. I mean, these are things that people somewhat believe about the construct of human life, which would involve the definition of the human spirit or of the human personality. And I sometimes wonder how some people living by these constructs, whether philosophical or man-made religious or, you know, well, some of it's kind of out there. Let me go over the five different, and I'm going to call them counterfeit constructs of the individual unique self. Number one, there is the construct that says that life is meaningless, that we are here by chance, and whenever we do die, we're just simply erased and we don't exist any longer. That somehow, some way, by chance, nobody knows how, we are here. It's all chance. And there's been those who have written on this and have acknowledged the concepts of chance, being in a world of chance, being here by chance, being the individual you are by chance. Question I would have is, if chance, or whatever that is, brought us here, will chance, by chance, will it all dissolve? Will it all quit? Why not just end everything right now? Who trusts in chance? Can chance hold us together? Can chance embrace us? Can chance tell us why we're here? Can chance tell us where we go in the end? There is a real, in this philosophical and somewhat, scientific, and again, I'm going to say it's erroneous. It leaves out vast amounts of information to come to this conclusion. But the universe is here by chance, therefore the earth is here by chance, therefore humanity is here by chance, therefore you are here by absolute chance. What's behind chance? How did the elements all come together? How did we get formed? How did we know in the beginning how to speak words and make sentences and paragraphs and communicate? How did we know out of chance to become creative and build cars and build buildings and play sports? The concept of chance brings about total meaninglessness. That if we're here by chance, we leave by chance, nobody knows anything, and we are stuck. If that's the final answer, we have to ask, where does ethics come from? Where does compassion come from? Where does love come from? Why did we learn and know how to procreate? It's all chance? Let me tell you something. I think that is absurd. I think it flows right out of the theater of the absurd. This is something like clock. Listen. Meaningless chance and then erased. Now, if you speak that into an individual life, I believe that brings depression. I believe that brings even more questions. Search for significance. Looking for. See, there's something about all of us. Great theologian Francis Schaeffer said years and years ago, he called it the mannishness of man. The mannishness of man. That part of us that seeks significance and meaning and purpose. love, and knows when we don't have it. And knows that when we don't have it, we know how to cry. Is that based on chance? We know how to kill. Is that based on chance? We know how to create super weapons. Create all kinds of spiritual things and thoughts and the New Age movement and cults and religions of man. We know how, it's all chance. And that leaves, again, a person with no real answer. It also tells us that we're searching for an answer. Let me give you number two. Simply the construct that out of nothing, we are here. I mean, we're just simply here out of nothing. That out of nothing, something came about. We're out of nothing. We have nowhere to go. This is different than chance. This is the idea that, well, somehow we're here, yes, but it's out of nothing. There's a definitive, philosophy and ideology that we who are something, somebody, came from nothing. There's nothing out there. It's just a universe. The Russian astronaut can go flying out into space and declare there is no God. Scientists can say that all there is, all there was, all there will ever be, nothing. We are here out of nothing. My questions would be then, where do we go? If we come from nothing, okay, then what are we? How do we define ourselves? Why do we have urges? If we came out of nothing, where did love come from? Where did marriage come from? Where did procreation come from? Where did wars and battle and fighting and killing and arguing all come from? Out of nothing. See, I want you to think through this next statement. I don't believe in nothing. To say the word nothing, I mean, think of the word nothing. This is going to take a little bit of thought. Nothing. Nothing means nothing. Out of nothing. You can't even say if nothing is nothing, then out of nothing means nothing. And so there's an absurdity. And I remember the story of two university students. W.A. Criswell, the famed pastor out of Dallas from years ago, told the story. How these two students went in, locked the door, shot themselves in the heads, committing suicide. They left notes. And the notes told those who found them, we have searched, we have read everything, we've looked, and there's nothing. And so they took their lives. Are we here on a dying planet out of nothing? With nowhere to go. What's it all about? Is there any reason for ethics? Hope. If out of nothing we came and nowhere to go, can there be a thing such as hope? Now, I'm bringing up two of five of those kind of man-made religious or man-made philosophical and, even from the concept of metaphysics. Let me give you number three. See what you think about number three. Number three, the aliens did it. Aliens. By the way, I was just reading in some science news tonight that there is something that's going to fly by the Earth at 80,000 miles an hour, 33 to 50 feet wide. They're not sure whether it's space junk or an asteroid, but I'm sure that many of those who are looking for lights in the sky will track it. But there are those who have clearly said that aliens have communicated to them. And they've come up with statements in books and have spoken on talk shows and said that we are just the genetic experiments of a master race out there. That this incredible master race of alien beings have seeded the planet with us, and we are but a genetic experiment. Bottom line, we are lab rats. We're lab rats. The human race is nothing more than a dysfunction of dysfunctional alien science, of some kind of strange and bizarre. I mean, the aliens don't care for humanity, do they? I mean, if the aliens are really there, as some believe, if aliens are really out there, the Space Brothers made us. If they are out there, what are they doing? If they are the originators of the human race, as many are beginning to believe, and even those who are big as far as intellectuals, looking at intelligent design behind DNA, behind the construct of the universe, that it has to be by design, intelligent design. Well, therefore, that must mean, to some people, that just simply means an alien race seeded us, dropped us off, observe us, once in a while interact with us. And when you begin to think about, again, value, meaning, am I just the multi-generational hand-me-down of alien scientific dysfunctional genetic experiment? And if they brought us to life, what happens at death? If we are but lab rats, do we owe them any adoration, any applause, any thanksgiving? Does life have any meaning? As an individual self, as an individual being, who am I? What am I? Can we stand outside on a mountain and scream to the aliens? You know, what do you want us to be? Where's the manual? Where's the manual on how to do life if the aliens did it? That's one of those counterfeit constructs that some are living by. And they're putting their hope in the fact that these beings, if they exist, will come back and help us. Though every ounce of evidence shows that they are not very helpful, that they kidnap, steal, mind control, sexually rape, and bring harm to humanity. So again, can you identify yourself, describe yourself, evaluate who you are? On this Tuesday night, January the 12th, 2010. Hey, not far away from 2012. Let's take a few moments here and listen to Steve Quayle, and we'll be right back with number four. Once again, thank you, Steve Quayle, and we do need to have preparation. So that's one of the things that Steve has done for many years and that we've been doing is preparing for the final days of the human race as we know it. But in that battle that we understand, there is this offering of other constructs of what a human being is all about. I've mentioned number one, meaningless chance, and then we're erased. I mentioned number two, out of nothing and nowhere to go, and then we die. I mentioned number three, the aliens did it, genetic experiments, that we are lab rats. And let me mention to you false construct number four. That is the evolution of man. Now, I've lived over half a century, and I've not yet seen a monkey turn into a man. I don't see any transitions. I don't see where it really occurred. And I think there's a lot of massive factual flaws in the concept. I believe there's been a development that mankind has learned. Mankind grows. Mankind develops. Mankind, you know, development is one thing. Evolution is another. But I want you to hear, also in this concept that this physical evolution has now bled into spirituality. That the concept of the spiritual evolution of man has been pumped out there for now 40, 50, 60 years. Millions and millions of New Agers have now begun to believe. And I'm talking about scientists, physicists, and many who have thought through this subject of the evolution of mankind. And so there's the belief simply that there's a coming day. And this ties in with 2012, by the way. Because now the Mayan prophecies and spirit-inspired writings, spirit-inspired channelers, spirit-inspired, psychics and prophets from the other side are telling mankind that a evolution of humanity is coming, and there is deep excitement among millions of New Agers about the concept. And the concept simply is saying that a new evolution is coming, that a evolution of human consciousness, a transformation, and ultimately homo lumos, or the deification of man, the deification of mankind, that somehow in the midst of the coming massive chaos, earth changes, and all that's going to come, out of that earth cleansing will come an evolution of humanity that will change the face of humanity and history, and that is coming. And it flows somewhat from the doctrines of physical evolution. However, I believe that the doctrine of physical evolution was spirit-inspired, not the spirit of God, of course. And the concept of spiritual evolution of mankind to a level of consciousness that will bring a new humanity to the face of this world that will bring basically the salvation of this world. And you can read about this even in the old writers like Alice Bailey and newer individuals and even people like, Ed Mitchell, the famous astronaut, and the concepts that they believe in, homo nautica, homo lomos, and the evolution of humanity. So if there's an evolution spiritually going on, then what we were, I guess spiritually bad, spiritually defunct, spiritually dysfunctional. I mean, man is killing man. Wars are going on. Bloodshed's going on. Death comes. People die. People get raped, shot, killed. All these things occur. But in this spirit-given doctrine of spiritual evolution, this will all change as a planetary spiritual wave is coming. Oh, you can get this. You can Google it. You can look at it on YouTube. There's literal teaching on the planetary wave that's going to envelop the planet and literally push humanity into a new level. Now, where does that come from? Where does that ideology, that spirituality, that didache, that teaching come from? And when you track the teaching, you can find it flowing back to New Age writers. You can find it flowing back to old occultism, to man-made religions, to Alice Bailey, from the Ascended Masters. You can find that source of teaching back even further in the garden. In the Garden of Eden, a real place in time and space, where a fallen cherub in absolute defiant rebellion and insurrection to God came to humanity. Do you remember what the methodology was? Do you remember what was used? I mean, it's one thing to say God's not good, God doesn't care, get rid of God, walk away from God. That's one thing. And that's part of the methodology of this dark, fallen, finite cherub. But on the other hand, he promised a new stream, a new spirituality, a counterfeit spirituality that included elitism, secret knowledge attained, and an evolution to deity. And it's all found in Genesis 3. And this counterfeit doctrine, this counterfeit spirituality, this counterfeit promise of a salvation that evolves to deity originates and is the core of Luciferic doctrine. It is found in, well, spirit-inspired religions around the world that came from the finite fallen spirits. It is found in the development of the Gnostics. It is found in the development of the New Age, which has become the largest alternative spiritual movement in history. It is going in one direction. There is a sense of spiritual development in the doctrine and in the force, the actual spiritual force that is behind the concept. Millions are grappling, you know, with the concept. Millions of others have engaged it and are believing it and are writing about it and are spouting it off. We even have remote viewers going out there, engaging entities, coming back and saying, this is the doctrine. Of course, it came from the Akashic Records. It came from what they call, that others have called, the Hall of Records. This, the prince of the power of the atmosphere that we live in, the realm around the earth, that dimension, a spirit who is now supernaturally operative in humanity. There is a driving force in the midst of humanity that we're simply wanting to scream out and say, beware, watch out, my friend before college, during the summer before college, we rode motorcycles together in the backwoods, and there was a trail that we would go on, and we would drive, and he had never been on it, but he wanted to come one day. He never showed up, so we all left. Now, when we went through this farmer's patch, we would then come to the end of it knowing that there was one strand of barbed wire, and we would have to duck our heads, drive our motorcycles under it, and go by. Our friend that wanted to follow us, who showed up 30 minutes later, the farmer and his family were outside, and he drove past them. They began to yell and point, and he just thought they were yelling about his cutting through their land, and so he turned around with his hand and gave them the finger. They kept yelling and screaming, and he kept laughing at them, driving, until finally he came to the barbed wire, but he was clueless. With his head turned back to them, laughing, giving them the middle finger, he turned slightly forward and then ran into, by his face, the barbed wire. Now, we saw this individual later on in the day. after the ambulance, after the hospital, after the stitches, he was messed up. They were screaming and trying to tell them of a danger that he knew nothing of, and that's the concept behind the Spirit of God's motivation in giving prophetic revelation about the end of days, the warning about counterfeit constructs of spiritual thought and spiritual doctrine, the reality that there would be a ramping up of a different theme, an alternative move, a stream that would offer to humanity something they could grasp because of what they lost. You see, those who believe in the meaningless chance and then erased construct are believing based on the fact that they have already lost their origin. Those that believe in that we've come out of nothing and we're going nowhere and then we die, again, living on a construct, they don't realize what they've lost. The concept of the aliens did it is very sad and sick and scary, by the way, if it were true. Does mankind really know origin? Do we know the majesty of man? Now, let me give you a fifth construct that is wrong that I think that, again, millions are beginning to grapple with and grip and begin to believe and think that maybe it's an answer to that gnawing feeling inside that speaks of death and the end of life and what's going to happen on the other side. And so those who have embraced reincarnation, this is the fifth construct that I believe is a sad, sad alternative, erroneous spiritual construct. And those that believe in it believed that they have come here from out there in the, well, whatever you want to call it. They're here right now, but they've been here before. And when they die and the shell of this body is thrown to the ground, doesn't mean much. But somehow, as an impersonal spark, they go back to that sea of nothingness. And they're just joined to everything else. The uniqueness of the individual is completely lost. Listen, if you believe in reincarnation, who are you? Who were you before? And before? And before? And where are those that were before? If you were King Tut before, if you were a Roman gladiator before, if you were Cleopatra before, and now you are you, are you really you, or are you part Cleopatra and part you? And if Cleopatra is the reincarnation of someone else, then you're really three sources of identity. Do you know who you are? I've watched individuals grapple with this as I visited the Theosophical Society one night, where a psychic, when I walked into the room as a believer in Christ, looked at me, kind of taken back, and she said, "You were a Roman gladiator in your past life." Well, quickly, I snapped my finger and said, "Oh, darn, I wish I could have been a Viking." Kidding, of course. We sat and listened. And I observed how she was actually engaging people spiritually to where there would be spirit communication, naming what they once were. Afterwards, I went to a girl that was there and talked to her about the difference between reincarnation and resurrection. Let me ask you something. If you understood resurrection to be that you would be raised into an eternal, immortal, indestructible body, seeing God face to face, living forever in this incredible spiritual majesty, or whether you would just be reincarnated and come back here again and again and again and again and again. And listen, old reincarnation believed that you can come back as a turtle. Maybe you were a turtle before. You were a good turtle, so now you come back as a human being. But you haven't been so good as a human being, so next time you're going to come back, well, as a frog. And millions, if not the most of humanity, if reincarnation was real, don't than know who they ever were. Then they really don't know who they are, and they don't know who they are going to be. If you believe in reincarnation, and you die and that physical carcass is thrown away, and then somehow, some way, the spark of you is spit back down in here to the physical realm, here you are in another body, a different body. Is it your body? Or is it the collective body of 30 of yous into one? A lot of questions there. And I think, again, that it is an alternative, very sad and erroneous construct. I believe that that construct has been given by spirits, finite, fallen, as an alternative that might bring an answer to the misery of where, what happens when we die? Where do we go? Do we live again? The concept of longevity. You know, people fear death. People fear. We hear it all the time. I don't want to die. I don't want to die. You get the news that you have some kind of disease and you have 6 months to live. That, for many people, is devastating. And the search goes on. Now, I want to give you, in the last 10 minutes here, a sixth construct. And let me just say this concerning this construct. It involves the teaching that we are unique individual souls, spirit, or a person, a unique individual, that we are unlike anyone or anything else, that we were meant to live forever, that in this uniqueness there was a majestic relationship in ourselves, to others around us, and to the God, the majestic God, who out of a special act in creation made us. Person to person. That in this majesty we were not only to be with God, but to be with God face to face. As it was in the beginning. That in this relationship of being created in perfect majesty and wonder and in awe, that we would also be in relationship to others in that way. I mean, isn't that what the human race says? Can we end the wars? Can we end the arguments? Can we end the rape? Can we end the fighting? Can we end the racism? We want to end all of that. Let me just say quickly that there is an end to all that. There is a divine, infinite promise about the return of the Prince of Peace, about the end of all war and rape and bloodshed and death, about how he has in his hands, from an infinite standpoint, well, from a history of being able to do what he says, the fallen cherub now, whether it's that darkness that is given, those philosophical concepts of we've come from meaningless chance or out of nothing, or whether there's some kind of spirit-inspired, well, the aliens did it, or there's a spiritual evolution, and or we're just, it's all reincarnation again and 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 again. Do we know who we are? And so I ask in the beginning tonight, can you identify yourself? Can you describe yourself? Can you evaluate what and who you are? I've also said in the middle of this that the identity of self and the value of self can be found at the foot of the cross where Christ died. So I ask all the New Agers, psychics, remote viewers, and those who are spiritual seekers to listen up. I say that in my experience, guided by the Spirit of God who dwells within me, that I've come 37 years ago to know the reality of God, of the origin, of what did go wrong, and of what is going right, the salvation, the repair, the rescue, the redemption, and the coming glorious. Do you know about glorification? Friday night, I'm going to spend half of an hour on glorification, The Spirit of God has revealed a coming, well, never, listen, mankind has existed in the Adamic nature, Genesis chapters 1 and 2, but in chapter 3, something occurred, the sin code came in, the death code came in, mankind fell from God, the Spirit of God left, we were dead to God. Our human spirit became dead to God. And a different spiritual presence began to operate on the face of the earth, counterfeit to God, and a battle for the human race was waged as God pledged redemption. In that same chapter, Genesis chapter 3. And over all these years, has communicated that he's coming. Hundreds of times the message rang out. And then in the fullness of time, as the Bible says, the angels of God knew, the demons knew, they were ready. The demons and the demonic came to destroy Christ. Check it out, Revelation 12. Yet this is Emmanuel, God has come. You see, at the foot of the cross, you must remember that Jesus did not die for himself. He did not die as just simply an example to the human race. There is this massive revelation coming from many writers, three continents, three languages, the angels of God, and even the demons knew it. And even when Christ, God in human flesh, Emmanuel, engaged them as they were inside of men who had opened the doors, they were forced to come out. They were exposed. Dear friend, the dark side has been exposed as deceiving, deceptive, here, destructive, leading mankind into rebellion against God, bringing into us this sin code, this thing inside of us where we do wrong, where we're not right, where we know we have guilt. And we have not, on a human scale or on any other alternative construct, been able to fix that. But at the foot of the cross, there's a message that says, God has come for you. God loves you. God knows you. That as the sinless man, Christ, God and man, representing both sides, as Christ goes to the cross, he comes to conquer the satanic deception and legalities. The sin code, its effects and consequences, hell and death itself, for one reason, your personal redemption. That God would wipe away the filth and the sin, the disgrace, the failure. That God would loose you from the satanic lie and the hold. That God would implant into your very being the gift of indestructible immortality. Because God knows who you are, even if you don't. God loves mankind. God loves you. And God came in human flesh. And I urge you, once again, go to Hebrews chapter 2. Read verse 14. See why God became human flesh. I'm not going to quote it. Want you to read it. You don't got a Bible, go to the web and you can find it at, you know, BibleGateway.com. You can read the Bible. The book of Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and verse 15. There is the reason why God came in human flesh. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This involves the breaking of all that came into us, destroying us. The misery that was created by our own sin. Well, the wages of sin is death. I mean, we know that doing wrong brings destruction in relationships to ourselves, to others. People just do things. They say, I don't know why I did that. Sin. a satanic presence. It's not just negative energy, it's real sin. You can say that it produces negative energy. Well, it's more than that. It's actually moral sin against the God who created us not to do these things. Created us to love, created us to be in harmony, created us to, you know, to care, to take care of each other. He created us originally to be eternal. Our bodies wouldn't rot and die. We would not have psychological identity problems. We were made in majesty, the imago Dei, in the image of God. We were made in the apex of creation. Let me say it again. A unique individual spirit, person. Unlike anyone or anything else, meant to live forever in unique and majestic relationship with God, face to face with others, and with the entire creation. It was a part of our home. Now it's a bloody spiritual battlefield. Christ has won a victory, and his message is, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. His message is that whosoever would believe and receive him as Lord and Savior, wanting God to come back into their lives, the power of God's transformation includes total forgiveness, freedom from the death code, sin code, Satan's lies, and the gift of eternal life. Well, my friends, we're at the end of the hour. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net. Hope to see you Wednesday night at 6 p.m. God bless.